Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
And welcome, it's Marina here from MCBI with another 60 Mark episode of this one's actually going to be a bit of a technical one for all you business analysts out there. I have been joined by the magnificent JB, otherwise known as Janet Bannister of South Australia, for those of you globally who don't know who you're in the presence of.
Hello.
Well, you certainly like loosened up there. All right. So this is this podcast series, we're going to start exploring this thing called business architecture. Mm-hmm. You know, you're our business architect. Well, I say that, but everyone says that you're theirs. But before we get into that, Janet, tell us a bit about how you became a business architect.
I've been a business analyst. I started as a business analyst, in project land, and you kind of work your way up and there's a senior business analyst role, and then you go, what do I do now? And the traditional switch into project management, I didn't think I could do that because God love them, project managers or schedule jockeys, as I call them.
Do you know people have just tuned out right
okay,
now?
Yeah, sorry, project managers. I love you. And whenever you do something, I'm right behind you.
way
behind you. No. So, project management wasn't for me, that kind of level of rigor, I suppose. There are people who are really good at that, and I'm not one of those, I suppose. So that more creative side kept me going. So this business architect role kind of appeared and investigated that a bit. Yeah, that's where I want to go. So I had the opportunity with EDS a few years back to pick up that role, and it's come from
that's
there.
That's quite a few years ago now.
That's a few years ago now, so.
Over a decade ago.
Yes.
You realise it's 2019.
I know. Well, it's closer to 20 years, really, for me. It's had that first role called a business architect. But for me, in my head, business architect is still a business analyst. Mm. And maybe you're analysing at a different level of business, but yes, you know, it's the same thing, same skills.
It's human nature, isn't it? We like to create little categories and what have you. But I mean, what is a business architect?
It's a very old business analyst.
That's inspiring for all you young. No. Well, I mean,
no,
there are differences between an analyst and architect.
There are. I think it's. I was thinking about this a little bit about how did you get that. You know, what does a business architect do? And it's the difference between, I think, when someone asks a question about what do you do, when they ask it about an organisation, you go, they say, what does your organisation do, MCBI, whatever. You don't describe it as a organisational structure. Oh, we have a division that does this and we've got an HR team. That's not how you describe a business. You talk about what you do. So you deliver service to customers, you have products that you sell, and you have products you create, you offer loans or you build widgets or whatever it is. You talk about what you do. And it's the business architect that has that view across an organization of what the organization does and where that line of sight to the customer comes in across all of those things that you do. So that for me, that's what a business architect is. It's keeping the customer right in the mix when it comes to deciding what you're going to do next as an organization, what's working and what isn't, what things you need to fix. The business architect is there to give the customer voice.
Yeah. It's a very powerful role, isn't it? I mean, it's very influential. You often sit with CEOs or big decision makers who are in operational excellence areas, shall we say, and then architects often act as the wing person to help them navigate, you know, the difference between their vision of what they want to do and then looking at actually where you are right now. You know, I'd love to be a 5'2" blonde, but it's probably, unless, I don't know, can the architects help me with that? No.
Probably not. Maybe not, but yeah, I think it's one of the exercises we do in one of our courses, Marina, is a sponsorship assessment, where you assess the sponsor as to whether they're any good or not, and or no, that's not fair, actually. Whether they're high or low risk.
But let's be honest, that's what we're doing.
That's essentially what
we're
doing.
Saying
we're
good or bad sponsor.
But if you've got a high-risk business sponsor, then you, which would be a senior leader in an organisation, then they need someone who's going to help them be a better fit for the role that they're performing for a change. So as a business architect, you're kind of filling that gap for them. So whether you're just giving them a bunch of slides that they can regurgitate, but you have an opportunity to really get your message into some senior leadership roles and help them become better leaders because they are paying more attention to what I think would always be the key thing, which is the end customer.
I think what I, from my observation is that architects also help navigate or give advice on the execution part. Because, I mean, everyone can come up with a fantastic, you know, vision.
Yeah.
Actually being able to make it come true is where the real talent lies.
Well, that's true, yeah. And you'll, you know, you'll get a one-liner potentially from a CEO. And
yeah.
Yes, let's go and do this.
Let's go here.
Let's go here.
I do remember.
What does that mean?
Let's just make it up. Yeah. I do remember there was a CEO we worked with and her one-liner was, I just want to hear people laughing. And that was her vision.
Yeah.
Was
that you?
No, it wasn't. No, on that occasion, that wasn't me. So let's look at the skills of a business architect. Like, we know all the professional ones, diplomacy and presentation skills and what have you. What about technical skills? What do you think an arch needs?
Yeah, so we talked about in a previous podcast about the toolkit for a business analyst. So you grow that as a business architect. So there are some things that come in there, like journey mapping, capability mapping, some of them like understanding more technical perhaps views of the business, some more like people and performance type things, all of which will factor in. Lots of those areas that like the Zachman framework.
John Zachman.
Yeah.
Okay, listen to us. Our hero. We love you. You Googled Zachman. He's still alive, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he's still alive.
You've got him like tagged on your Google search.
Yeah, I check on him every so often. The Zachman framework gives you these different views of the business. Mm. So you get a technology view and a people view and a business view and all those other views, and then how you're going to do that or what you're going to do and what the underlying technology is, and you kind of fit it all together. So it's a really bad explanation of Zachman ontology.
It is hard to describe the Zachman ontology, but it's beautiful stacked blueprints, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it creates this sort of mimics this 3D view of how business is in like a little tiny model. And then you can play. I always think of it as like ants in a farm, you know, like a little miniature version of a company.
It is, yeah. Everyone's got their little purpose and they're all kind of doing the job that they think they're supposed to be doing, but someone's got to actually set it in that framework.
Yeah.
Which is what architects do.
Maybe that's where the God complex comes with arcs.
Maybe, yeah. Well, business architects have it less, I think.
And a whole lot of enterprise architects have been dropped off.
So I've made project managers unhappy. Now the rest of the architecture profession, sorry, everybody. I think we have different views. You know, everyone's got different just different perspective, which is why everyone has a value. So, I mean, I wouldn't pretend to be able to create a technical architecture. But equally, I would hope that my technical architecture colleagues wouldn't pretend that they knew exactly what the business wanted all the time. And that with both of us working together, we get a better result, you know, at an enterprise level.
Yeah, yeah. It does actually, I mean, the parallel between building a house and, you know, actually having like an architect and the builders and civil engineer, you know, all the different people who come into it is very true. But a lot of businesses don't get the value of, you know, what a business architecture team or even an enterprise architecture team can do for them. They just don't get it. So, and that could be for, you know, there's no judgment on it, even though I do sound a little bit judgy. But What can they do? What can a great performing BA or EA team do for a company?
What you see, I think, is organisations suddenly hitting a point where they realise they've gone down the wrong path, or that change they thought was going to come hasn't come, or a change has come that they weren't expecting.
Mm.
And that ability to respond to really significant changes in business as they come along. So, you know, we've got Royal Commissions coming out of our ears for lots of industries at the moment. That's going to have a huge impact on lots of organisations. And for those people who are already doing their day-to-day job, to try and say to them, okay, well, lift your head out of that and think strategically and come up with the solution for this kind of amorphous mass of results coming from, you know, a Royal Commission, then it's almost impossible for people to do that. You need a set of people in an organisation who are able to look at the trends that are emerging, the things that are coming straight at you quite often, and look at what that means for an organisation and what will have to change, and have some understanding of the impact that change is going to have on an organisation. So the people who work in it and the business processes that they're undertaking and the products that they're selling and the technology that they're using, that's what architects will do. You're never on your own if you have an architect.
Well, that's a great bumper sticker. You're never on your own.
Yeah, I just made that up.
I know, I like that. That's going to be the title. You're never on your own with a business architect. All right, that is fantastic. We are coming to the end of our little...
Oh, so soon.
I know, we could talk about business architecture for hours. In fact, we do.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, favourite last four things before we let you go. All right, Tweety Bird or Sylvester?
Tweety.
Tweety, really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, never gets eaten.
Yeah, that is true. All right, are red cars faster? Because
no,
of colour.
Logically.
Logically? Yeah. But a lot of people do say that they use.
They're not.
Red wine, white wine?
White wine.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Best holiday, a public holiday, Friday or Monday?
Monday.
A Monday. Okay. Mm. All right. Well, on those incredibly insightful questions, thank you so much, Janet, for shedding some light on business architecture, a little bit on the EAs. We do hope the project management community and the enterprise architecture community. We do love you, and hopefully we'll hear you again. Thank you.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.